Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today is part two of a two-part interview that I started with Tom Donnan, as we're discussing a new program that China is implementing, and it will soon be nationwide for them. And the liberals and the world elitists are all trying to implement it everywhere, which is social credit. You get good points when you do good things. You get bad points when you get bad things. And you may lose a job. You may not get a mortgage. You may not get a credit card. You may not be able to even take transportation, public transportation, the way you want if you have a bad score. Now, we're going to jump right back into this interview with Tom Donnan, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Yeah, amen. And we have a kind of social credit system already being used in the United States. It's called your credit score, you know, and your credit rating, or your 780 or 640 or whatever it might be. What is that? It's a reflection of how the banking system and the credit card companies decide you use your credit worthiness, whether you exceed it or don't meet up to their expectations, and they adjust your score up and down. Is that, we're talking about the same system, but used for personal things. You know, You get angry at your boss. You decide you don't like a political party that's in power. You decide that, you know, you want to protest for more freedoms. You know, whatever the case may be, they're going to start adjusting your social credit score.
Yeah, that is true. Well, we're seeing it, you know, probably more so in the last 3 to 5 years than ever before, to where if you have the wrong political affiliation, you start to see that there are places where they will push back and maybe even become violent. And then it makes people think twice about what they want to do. But as an interesting result is that we're seeing more people that are actually standing up and being willing to pay the price. Mm-hmm. But it's a sad thing that this is happening, because there is this push to go in one direction, and that direction is elitism and control, and which is a scary thing. So the silent majority is not becoming is not as silent as it was before, because I think they're getting tired of this type of thing, and they feel that they're losing their freedoms. Isn't that an interesting thing? It's an exchange of words, but yet freedoms can be lost.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I mean, you see the protests going on in Hong Kong right now. We're talking about this social credit system in China. China and Hong Kong, you know, Hong Kong is a separate, not nation, but a city-state, I guess you could say. But, you know, eventually, I think in the next 10 years or whatever it is supposed to be, they're supposed to be integrated together. But, you know, these protests that go on in Hong Kong, don't you know that China's watching? And, you know, they're observing who these leaders are that are leading the protest. They know. They know who it is. And I have a feeling their social credit scores aren't going to be that high.
You know? Whoa. You know? No. Well, let's get into some of the ramifications of having a low social score. All right. No, because in the YouTube that we have in there, it talks about a man who discovered to his shock that he went to buy a ticket for a high-speed train to make a three-hour ride to his next destination, and he got up to the window to buy his ticket, and he was denied. He was denied the ticket. And he said, well, what are you talking about? And they said, well, your score is below 1,000. And he's like, you're kidding me here, you know? And so, no. So if he wanted to get to his destination, now he had to buy a bus ticket, so a three-hour ride was going to turn into a 10-hour ride.
Yeah.
Okay, and so now all of a sudden he's panicking because then also too he realized that I don't know if he was directly going to be taking out a loan, but he had discovered because of the low credit score he was going to be denied a loan unless he got up above the 1,000 points. So he starts doing the things necessary to get himself into good standings because it was beneficial to him to do it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the thing.
And you know, you're doing something that you don't normally do, whatever that social, you know, maybe, you know, picking up trash on the side of the road, whatever the case may be. You're doing something you don't normally do in order to grow in good graces to the authorities. And it's the old thing, you know, if you feed the dog, you know, every time the bell rings, pretty soon they'll ring the bell and the dog salivates, you know, Pavlov's theory and stuff. So they're teaching the people, do what we say, when we say, and how we say, and you get all these little bennies. You know, you
Correct.
Go against us, there's punishment involved.
Yeah.
And they're teaching the people, the masses in China, obey us, everything's great. Do what we say, everything's great. Have your own thoughts, not so good.
Ooh, you know? What happened there?
Yeah.
So that's the thing about moving towards, you know, in the book of Revelations, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you got the seven churches that are talked about mm-hmm. in chapter 3 and 4. You know, and then what happens is that after chapter 4, you start getting into some of the things that are released upon the world. And when you get to chapter 6, it's talking about the four horsemen.
Yeah.
No? And one of the four horsemen is when peace is taken from the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're starting to see some unrest and, you know, the lack of peace and all over the society and all over the world, not only in our own country, but in other countries. And you start to think, oh, wow, how far are we into this? I'm not saying that we're into Revelations, but I'm sure saying that we have lost a sense of peace around the world. And it starts to make you wonder, you know, and what happens here is that sooner or later it becomes a pressure cooker because the more that you have to are conditioned to go towards meeting the needs of society, you are denying your own choice. And the more that you compromise yourself, the more the pressure cooker builds.
Yep.
So maybe that's what's happening in Hong Kong. I don't know, but they got to the point where it's boiling over and the eye of the world is upon them, you know, and they're thinking that they want religious freedom. And here in the United States, the people are trying to give up their freedoms, you know. And so it's kind of like an oxymoron. And you think, how in the world is this happening? And it comes back to social conditioning.
That's right. Amen. And, you know, the communist nations, that's what their entire philosophy is based on, is you do what's good for the state and the state will take care of you. I mean, that's the whole bottom line of that. You know, and they haven't implemented this in China and throughout all of China. I think their goal is in the next year or so, every citizen will be, you know, having their own credit score. So it hasn't been 100% implemented yet, but they're moving along that timeline.
They do have that goal. Yes, by 2020, they want to have all citizens underneath this. And so, yeah, that's a pretty expansive project. But, of course, you know, they have the ability to be able to do it. Now, I don't know how they're going to do it out in the rice paddies, you know, mm-hmm. there's going to be remote places. And I'm telling you, when I was up in Alaska, I don't understand how people can live so remote because they're isolated up there. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't like that isolation. No. But the technology does have far-reaching aspects of this. And so, you know, this is the scary part is where does it end? That's the problem. Where mm-hmm. does it end? Because it's just beginning. And so it's implemented, but I can't imagine it getting less. I can only imagine it getting more.
Yeah, right, right. And Glenn Bick on his program, he discussed this system, right? What did he have to say about that?
Wow, I'm telling you. Okay, so the first one was talking about a man who realized that he had a low credit score and some of the things that had restricted him. Now, when you get to the Glenn Beck YouTube, he goes further into it and shows you just how pervasive it is. But then he draws out two different scenarios, and that is, of course, he references the 1984 book by
Orwell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, thank you. I was having a senior moment there, you know.
George Orwell.
But he referenced a man by the name of Huxley, and I had never heard that, so I had to dig into that. And it's the same thing, but from a different application, you know, and it's by positive social conditioning, not by like they're doing in China with the observation, but they're doing it from a different method. And one of the things that caught my eye here in the very beginning, or as I was listening, And it says, the thrive in technology helps that it turns off people's thinking. No.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, gee, that struck me like a sledgehammer because, you know, I was sitting in the plane next to this young man. And I say he was young because he was probably 25 to 30. And he's like bouncing all over the chair. And I'm thinking, what's going on with this guy, you know, in the plane seat? And if he wasn't on his phone, okay, he was popping back and forth, you know, and it's absolutely amazing. But as long as his mind had continuous stimulus, he sat there quietly.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, oh, man, you know, and so that's where, you know, his mind was being consumed with time. And just like a saying here that the technology, he was turning off his mind and watching the stimulus that was on his phone. And then they had another comment in there about contented domination. Oh, that sounds scary, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, because what happens is that with the technology, you are moving forward and you are content with all the things that are going on around you because, you know, you don't have any needs, so therefore you become more compliant. But I'll tell you what happens with Christianity, you know, Jesus Christ, he likes to have us to have more liberty, and that's where it comes into you know, a crossroads, because the more we come into Christ's liberty, the more we realize that we want to be able to share our faith and be able to, you know, share Jesus Christ with other people. And so, therefore, you're going to become in conflict with what with the direction that we're moving in.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, it is that this type of system is being used in a beginning sort of way in the United States, because I've seen where in New York State, life insurance companies can base premiums based upon what you do on social media. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, wait a minute. You know, do they have kind of, they must have programs by which they'll put a person's name in there and be able to bring this up.
I'm sure they do.
And, you know, because we like to share our lives. I'm telling you, when it comes to the technology, I don't know. I'm old school. I'm very cautious about all of this stuff. And so, but people are very open about the things that they share. And now they go in there and they look and they say, well, wait a minute, you said one thing and here's another, you know, and it's probably good for them, you know, and keeping the people honest. But then it's a little scary because where do you draw the line? You know, and so they could say, okay, well, wait a minute. Okay, it's good that you don't smoke, but wait a minute, here I see that you are smoking. You know, and so they're challenging that, and they're using the system to be able to validate whether or not you are adhering to the form that you had filled out. So there's some good, but there's also some scary aspects to it.
Yeah, amen. And even bars and nightclubs are using this system to, you know, if they have a troublemaker come in, his name goes into the system and it gets spread around to all the other bars and things like that, so that, you know, you go to, you know, come into another bar. Oh, no, we don't want you here, type thing. You know?
Well, you know, that opens up, what do they say, Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So what happens is that there's no recourse for you to, if you go in there. Okay. So, yeah, I can understand where there's a troublemaker, but where do you draw the line? Because we have seen where people have been really, really mistreated because they had a mega hat on. Or, you know, Sarah Sanders goes into a restaurant. You know, and the owner doesn't like her. So, you know, she's mistreated. Will those people go on the list? And therefore, you know, when they go into a restaurant or a bar now, they're going to be rejected because they're on this list that somebody didn't like the hat they wore or the person that they work for, you know? And so and there's no recourse. This is the thing that bothers me. There's no recourse to be able to get your name off of that list. Exactly. Because, you know, and it's not just the United States. There's four other nations that are doing that as well. And one of them is Australia. Oh, which comes to, you know, when I was doing the looking into this, in Australia, in the South Wales, I think it was, New South Wales? I don't know. They got strange names there. I should probably pay more attention. No, they are implementing a camera system that has artificial intelligence so that as you're driving down the road, they're using two cameras. And the point is that they want to see if the driver is texting. Mm-hmm. All right. So which is a good thing because, you know, when you got the most blatant thing was is that a person had somebody else steering the car for them. That's like stupid so that they could text. Right.
Wow.
Okay. That person deserves a ticket. You know, but then the point is that, okay, so then they got this under control. But what happens when somebody, and they did bring this up in Illinois years ago. What happens if somebody is drinking a cup of coffee, you know, and only has one hand on the wheel. Are they going to get a ticket next? You know,
right.
And so, but the artificial intelligence is there to be able to start monitoring what you're doing as you're driving, and that's another step for the Big Brother thing.
Yeah, exactly. And again, get you to be compliant. They want you compliant. And that's what it's all designed to do. You know, man, we're already running out of time, but I want to cover how all of this is lining up and pointing and indicating that the end of the church age is drawn near. I mean, we referenced the Bible's very clear on events leading up to that time. I mean, we see it happening all around us. But it seems like the devil has the eyes of the people basically blinded. So they're not even able to put two and two together and see what's happening. I mean, there are people all over the world right now having dreams and visions, you know, especially in Muslim nations, because, you know, Jesus wants everyone saved, even Muslims. And if he can't safely send a Christian in there to witness to Muslims, then he'll show up himself, you know, and talk to them. Amen.
I mean, amen.
You know, that dreams, visions, things like that, that's happening in our day.
Oh, isn't that exciting?
Amen.
As the world gets darker, the light, you know, the light of Jesus Christ is getting brighter.
Amen.
You know, and unexpected stuff. I'm telling you, the thing, when you start to see expressions of the sovereignty of God stepping in, you know, he likes to have his Christians be his hands and feet and sharing the gospel. But then there's times he just does it himself, you know.
Amen.
And so in the Muslim countries, people are having these dreams of Jesus that, you know, they're not dreams. They're experiences. They are experiencing him and feeling his love. I had a Muslim come into the ministry probably almost a month ago, and he was talking about, you know, he says, I had an experience. I had a manifest experience with Jesus. He's alive. And he was talking about the love and how it was absolutely amazing. He says, I've never experienced anything like this in my life before.
Amen.
No? And this is what we're trying to explain to people, you know, that Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
A lot of them have a problem with the faith issue. You know, you must first believe. But here, Jesus is reaching out to people, and he's letting him taste, you know, his goodness. Mm-hmm. And it is bringing them into salvation. There is a gentleman at our church. He's an evangelist, Pastor Dale Everett, I think his name is. And he does a ministry in Africa. And I just saw him 3 weeks ago, and I was asking him what was going on. And he said he just came back from a meeting in Africa where 10,000 people were saved in one meeting. Can
Amen.
You believe it?
Amen.
Yeah. Woo!
And we can't get 100 people in a church, it seems like.
Yeah, try to get a prayer meeting going.
Right. That's right.
Amen. Whoa.
Glory to God. Amen. Yeah, and that's the thing. Overseas, these things are happening constantly, but you never hear about it.
No.
Because here in the United States, you know, this nation was formed as a Christian nation. You know, back in, 1950-something, maybe even before that, the Supreme Court justice, can't remember his name now, declared that, you know, the United States is a Christian nation, you know. And today, if Chief Justice John Roberts were to say that, I mean, Congress, you know, some members of Congress want to impeach him because he crossed the line, you know.
Yeah.
You know, separation of church and state and things like that.
Yeah.
That's how far we've slipped as a nation where, you know, we as a nation, you know, the Christians are now the persecuted minority, you know,
in
the United States.
And it's not, it's beginning, but where is it going to end?
Exactly.
You know, and this is where this is such a critical time in America, which direction we're going to go in, which brought the two of us together because I had a common friend, Helen Cook, the publicist, you know, she had connected us together to discuss the book Healing the Nation.
Yep.
And God, in 2010, God had showed me what was going to happen to America if the Constitution of the United States falls. No? And so the thing is, we're either marching towards the destruction of the United States, or we see a rise of Jesus, you know, in our society, and there is this battle, extreme battle going on to suppress him so that people don't, you know, want the religious freedoms and be able to have that expression, you know. Yeah. And so this battle is going on, and if we lose the battle, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
You know,
This nation has slipped in from Christianity into humanism. You know, humanism, love of self, love of money, and love of power. And that's what you see every single day. on the news. It's love of self, love of money, and love of power instead of love of God and love of your fellow man.
Yeah, I often refer to the book of Amos. I know people, you know, not too many people go out of their way to read the book of Amos, okay? All right, so, but I would suggest that people look at it. It's not a really long book, but the point is that Amos was sent to the ruling class to say, hey, you guys are in sin, no? And you got to deal with it. And they blew Amos off. You sheep herder, go back to where you were and leave us alone. Basically, you know, paraphrasing. Yeah. Yeah. Now, the point is that at some point in the future, the Lord says, okay, you've had enough time to turn around and you're not going to do it. So this is what's going to happen. And they were invaded and sent into captivity.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, brutal, horrible captivity. If they knew the price they were going to pay for not repenting, they would have repented. Is my point. And America is in the same position where if we don't repent, there's going to be horrible, horrible consequences. And the point is that I'm telling you, you're not going to want to pay the price.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So let's let Jesus run rampant and have salvations all over the place. I pray for 100 million souls to come into salvation here in America.
Amen. Yeah, amen, amen. And we are on the march to Revelation as depicted in the Bible. I mean, all the things we talked about today would seem to indicate that we are. You know, knowledge is increasing more and more. People traveling all over the world, Daniel 12:4, you know, basically lukewarm at best Christianity in the United States. And that's at best. It's not, you know, compared to what it was 30, 40 years ago, you know, they'd be calling the Christians back then extremists as compared to today. You know?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lack of peace in the whole world. You know, as you mentioned, elitism is on the rise, you know, and America and our influence and the power and everything else is declining. I mean, these are all things that, you know, when taken collectively, shows us that, you know, everything the Bible said is happening.
That's scary. But at the same time, you and
it's
I love doing the work. Yeah.
Yeah,
we love doing the work. I'm telling you, I just had a testimony from my friend Pastor Phil, which I often reference because him and I get a opportunity to travel with him. He's in Stockholm, Sweden, all right, and he's ministering over there. And he just found out, I just found this out this morning. He said that 2 years ago we were in a Glory conference in Rochelle, Illinois, and during the break he had met this man from Stockholm that said that you're going to come to Stockholm someday. Right. So he had looked him up on Facebook and they started communicating after that. And he gets over there and he asked him about the Glory conference in Rochelle. And he says, listen, I've never been to the Glory conference. And he says, wait a minute. He says, and furthermore, I've never been to America.
Wow.
Right. OK, so Phil talked to him 2 years ago. Well, who was it that he talked to?
Yeah.
You know, and so God is setting it up like Macedonian experience, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Where he says, come, come. And so now he's over there releasing the power of God in Sweden. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. Yeah, that's wow. That's all I can say is wow.
Yeah, I know.
God is so awesome.
Amen. He is, yeah.
Amen. Well, Tom, we are all out of time for today. Man, if someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question or maybe do an interview like this, how could they get in touch with you?
Oh, they can reach me at my email address, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com, or the Facebook page I have, which is Healing the Nation Ministries. They can get a hold of me either way.
Amen. And we didn't even get a chance to talk about your books. I mean, you mentioned Healing the Nation. Tell us a little bit about your other books that you've written.
I've gone through seasons of intercession, and the Lord developed prayers to be able to apply to people, and those prayers are in spiritual house cleaning to be able to bring the atmosphere change that people are looking for. Then pastors in the presence of God, he wants to give them a gift of his presence, and that's outlined in that. 7:14 Angels on Assignment is about a pastor who was seriously ill, and if he didn't get the ear of God, he was going to die. And he implemented 2 Chronicles 7:14, and God set about his healing, and it's all defined in there. And then a book that is fictional in nature but based on true people is called One Door Between Us, where God had sovereignly stepped into this family's life and then redirected it to where now the main characters in the books are walking in the supernatural ministries today. And so that's the latest book.
Yeah, amen. And you're working on the second one, right?
I am. And so as the associate pastor, this is the one door between us is about the senior pastor and associate pastor. As I'm interviewing her, she was telling me, well, you know, I probably should tell you that I was born dead. And I said, what? You don't start with that? You know, how in the world do you get born dead and here you are today? You know, because God stepped in and perpetuated her life. I mean, continued her life because she's got work to do and she's got supernatural things happening in her life. Isn't that awesome?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And I'm going to be putting links to all the books down in the show notes as well, because I want to encourage people to reach out to you and I want them to definitely get your books. Folks, I've got copies of all these books. And Tom is an excellent writer. These are great books. You really need to get them. And you need to pay attention about what's going on around us, all around us. The Bible is very clear. The soon return of Jesus is going to happen when you, what? Least expect it. Everyone will be getting married, giving in marriage. They'll be living their life as if they don't have a care in the world. But the Bible is clear. The government is not your friend. The Bible is clear that there will be troublesome times ahead. The Bible is clear that only you can make the decision to receive Jesus or receive the mark of the beast. The Bible is very clear that if you choose Jesus, you will not even be able to buy or sell or even have a job. And this social credit system that we talked about today is the precursor to being able to implement all of this. You need to be paying attention. Now, in addition, I want to encourage you again to order one or more of Tom's books. The links are down below in the show notes. And with Christmas coming at the time of this recording, coming soon, you should order several and use them as gifts for those you love. I mean, it can change their eternal destiny. And isn't that what Christmas time is all about at its basic level? Amen.
Amen.
So, Tom, if someone is listening right now and things we've discussed has led them to the point where, you know, I need to get saved. Would you do the honor and lead them in that prayer of salvation?
Oh, what a joy. Oh, of course. Okay, so let's move forward with what I call a prayer of invitation. Mm-hmm. And that goes like this. Dear Father, I thank you for your son Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. By shedding his blood, he paid the price for sins, humankind, mankind's sin. And I thank you for that. I tell you, Jesus, I tell you, Father, that I am a sinner, and I am sorry for the pain that my sins have caused you. Please forgive me. Now, I invite Jesus to come into my heart and into my life, and I want to live for him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen, and glory to God as you pray that, and the Holy Spirit enters your spirit, and you become a new creation, and you're off and running, because the veil over the mind is removed, the wax out of the ears is removed, and the scales off of the eye is removed, and you will see things like you've never seen before.
Amen, amen, praise the Lord. And if you prayed that prayer with Tom right now, just email me at brotherbob@ftfm.org and let me know, or go down the show notes and get in touch with Tom Don. Let him know, because we want to rejoice with you. And again, click on the links, order the books, get in touch with Tom, look around, you know, you see what he's doing on Facebook. He's on Facebook all the time. All these links are down below, so you need to utilize them. Amen. Tom, thanks so much for coming on the program today and bringing all this to our attention.
Thank you, pastors. We always have fun.
Amen, amen. I appreciate it. I look forward to our next conversation because I never know what you're bringing to the table. You always bring something interesting to talk about, that's for sure. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, that is all the time we have for today. So for Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting.
Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.